Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow. But at that point, we must understand what is going on, that a prophetic clock is continuing on, and 1,260 days from that point, Scripture says that Jesus will return in the second coming to this earth.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Please turn with me to Job chapter 19. As we close out Mark chapter 13 today, and Lord willing, we will continue in Mark chapter 14. We're getting close to finishing the Gospel of Mark. After that, we will go to continue through our flow of through the Scriptures. We will be in the book of Galatians, which is a fun book. A fun book as we do that. Today, I'd like to present for your consideration that which I have come in my study to believe. As I present it to you, I present it to you in all humility as me not being the greatest teacher in the world or having everything my act together. I am a person just like you. I have a responsibility just like you have to be a Berean. A Berean was found in Scripture in Acts chapter 11 that Paul said that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word of God with readiness of heart, but they searched out the Scriptures to see whether those things were true that they were being told. And so I submit to you, again in humility, and ask that you would be gracious enough to listen and consider what I feel concerning what is called eschatology, the end times teaching, an end times teaching on the return of Jesus Christ. And the timing, as you see, the timing of the Lord's coming, the title of the message today. The timing of the Lord's coming is a debatable thing. There are many people that believe different than what I will present today. And just because they're wrong, I don't hold anything against them. Okay? Not one thing. Okay? Obviously jesting. I respect all decisions that a person might come to. The study of eschatology will not change a person's eternal life. It's an issue that is vital, it's important, and I don't want to say it's a side issue, but it's not the focal point, which we know the focal point is what we just celebrated, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need to repent of our sins so we can have eternal life. That is the center of the gospel message, and that's what Jesus came to present. But there's this wonderful teaching in Scripture about the return of Jesus Christ. And we believe, do we not today, that Jesus is going to come back? We believe that. When He's going to come back is debatable. The fact that He will come back is not. The timing when He will come back is open to interpretation and Scripture to be searched out in that way. So I will present again my leanings in this area. I was reading my devotions through the book of Job. Now, Job is a funny book. How many like the book of Job? By a show of hands. Okay? By a show of hands, how many think if you read Job, you're going to have trials? I used to believe that. I tried to stay away from that. But no, I go through the Bible, so I had to face it. I can't not read it, and all that. There are so many gems in the book of Job. And I'd like to share one that lines up with our topic today. Look in chapter 19 of Job. Did I have you turn there? I did, okay. Look at verse 25. Job says, "For I know." The word is not just an occasional understanding. He's saying, "I know, I understand, I believe, I base my life upon this reality that my Redeemer lives." We believe that today, do we not? Jesus lives. He's not dead. They didn't steal his body from that grave. He rose from the dead to the living. He ascended into heaven. He's coming back again. He lives. "I know," Job said, "that my Redeemer lives." But look at the second part of this verse. "And he," the Redeemer, "shall stand at last on the earth." At the end, Jesus will stand on the earth. I believe this could be a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ when he comes to step foot on planet Earth once again into the future. Into the future. Now notice verse 26. He goes on, Job goes on and says, "And after my skin is destroyed," in other words, after I die and my skin decays, my body decays, "this I know." The word "know" has been added in italics to bring meaning to the flow of the verse and what precedes it. "And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh," what's the next four words? "I shall see God." That's a promise for you and I. Job's telling us he believes, though he would die, he will live again. He's talking about the resurrection, and that he will see God. God is coming back. Jesus is coming back. The world doesn't believe that, doesn't embrace that. Most of the world doesn't want him to return because they haven't surrendered their life to him. Probably a good reason to be concerned. But the Bible says that he's coming back. And I believe that. Now go with me to Mark chapter 24, just for one verse. Mark 24, and then we'll go to Matthew 13. Mark 24. We have been in Mark chapter 13, which is a prophetic chapter. It deals with the end times. We have spent a lot of weeks looking at this. I've submitted to you guys different thoughts, asking you to study it. And today I'd like to just review what we've studied very briefly and bringing it to a conclusion in the last group of verses there in Mark chapter 13. But before we do, in verse 3, it says, "Now as he," Jesus, "sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately." Now, according to Mark, we'll see that it was Peter, John, James, and Andrew. So they came to him privately, and this is what they said. Notice in Matthew, three questions are asked of Jesus. "Tell us when these things will be." Prior to this, he's talking about the temple. They were all excited about the temple, and he turns to him and says, "This temple, there's not going to be one stone that's going to be remain." That blew their mind. They were so proud of this temple and all that. And he's saying, it's going to be torn down. And according to history, it did happen in 70 AD because of the Jews' rebellion against Rome. They sent the general named Titus who came, and he knocked down the whole temple and unfortunately killed over 1 million Jewish people there during that time. And so I believe the first question, what will be the sign, or excuse me, when will these things be? And we'll see in Mark that I believe he's referring to this time where the temple will be destroyed. Then the second question, what will be the sign of his coming? And the third question, and the end of the age. The end of the age, I believe, points to an event called the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord, a lot of times people look at it as one day. I personally look at it as an event. Now, you're going to hear very quickly where I come concerning the rapture of the church and the tribulation period. But I would like to suggest that the Day of the Lord is not just a single day, but it's a period of time that is wrapped up in 7 years. According to Daniel chapter 9, according to the prophetic time clock that once again will begin, I believe, with the rapture of the church. So you have just figured out that I am a pre-tribulation rapture person. It's out there. I never hide from that. You know that. There's others that believe in a mid-trib. There's others that believe in a post-trib. There's those that recently have come up with a pre-wrath tribulation, the return of Jesus in the clouds. All I can say is when the pre-tribulation rapture comes, and I look over to you that might believe in the mid-trib and the post-trib, and you're going up with me, I'm going to say, Yahoo! And then we're on our way. And I know what you're going to say, and I'm glad you were right, Bill. We don't know. But we know the event will take place. But I believe as you take Scripture, interpreting Scripture, and the weight of Scripture, and the prophetic time clock of the Lord, and different Scriptures that come together, He's dealing with three events that are very important. He's telling the nation. Now go with me to Mark chapter 13, and we're going to go through this quickly, but I just want to bring it contextually together again. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Then as he, Jesus, went out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? They're all excited. Jesus answered, said to him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be broken down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, number one, when will these things be? And number two, in Mark, there's only the last two questions are combined into this statement, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? And so three questions, I believe, are asked, and Jesus addresses those three questions. The first one is the 70 years, the destruction of the temple that happened with Titus. The second one is where, to me, what begins in verse 5 is reference to the tribulation period. According to the Bible, there's going to be a tribulation period of 7 years. It seems, according to the Scriptures, that it may be in the first 3.5 years, what they call the beginning of sorrows. Not necessarily the full wrath of God being poured out. There's difficulties coming, an intensification of difficulties upon planet Earth, like it's never been seen before. But it's not the end of the 3 years, 3.5 years at the end of the tribulation, after the abomination desolation is set up in the temple, where truly the wrath of God is poured out upon the unbelievers at that point. But there's 7 years that's there. And so we see this period of time. And now it's described a little bit. It's described in Matthew, but it's also described here. Verse 5, Jesus answered them, saying to them, Take heed, there's always a warning, that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. Be aware of that. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. I believe those beginning of sorrows are revealed to us in Revelation chapter 6, the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, it says, But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. He's speaking to the Jewish people, but in application, believers that may be on earth at that time. And you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. Verse 10, And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. And when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. God is going to be with those believers through this difficult time. In verse 12, it says, Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Endurance is an important issue. Perseverance is important for people. Unfortunately, I've seen too many people that profess that they know Jesus Christ. I have seen people that have been in ministry that walked with Jesus and fruit has come from their life that today, if I would, and I know of them, and if I would stand before them, they no longer believe in Jesus Christ. That scares me because we have ability to choose. We can do that. but endures to the end, not by our power, but by the glory of God. And then now, as we see this that is being spoken of, he moves into what I believe in verse 14. It's 3.5 years through the overall tribulation period. Look what it says in verse 14. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. The wrath of God is going to be poured out. This time is going to be difficult, more difficult than any other times. And it's important for us to understand that in Daniel chapter 12, this time, this last 3.5 years was spoken of. And we see in the last time from this point, from the abomination desolation that will happen in the future when the temple is built again in Jerusalem and the Antichrist walks into that temple and presents himself. Many believe he's going to build an image, put an image of himself there to be worshipped. But it's going to be none other than Lucifer that is going to be in possession of the Antichrist, possess this man, and Lucifer himself wants to be worshipped as God. I believe that is true. But at that point, we must understand what is going on. That a prophetic clock is continuing on, and 1,260 days from that point, Scripture says that Jesus will return in the second coming to this earth. Now, in Daniel chapter 12, it talks about 1,290 days, and those that make it to 1,335 days, a total of 75 days more than what is found in the book of Revelation. And many believe that simply speaks that there's a reality of 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, or 42 months, or times, twice, and all that, that adds up to 1,260 days. But that other 75 days is just when the Lord will be there and he'll put things on the earth in order. Blessed is he who makes it to the 1,335 day when everything is there. Yahoo! You know, not Yahoo, Yahoo, okay, in that sense there. But there's this time period that we are to see to Scripture, and I only point it out because I believe, personally in my study, there's a time clock that begins at that point, and people will know at that time that Jesus will return. Again, they may not know the exact day or the exact hour. It's not given to them. What is given to us, we are to understand. What is not given to us, we're just to trust the Lord for. But there is that period of time that is important to realize. But there's another time, and it's what is known as the rapture of the church, that I believe no man knows the day nor the hour, and there is no indicator except, as we're going to see here, the parable of the fig tree that gives us an idea. It's getting close. It's getting close. So bear with me as we just go on in verse 14 again. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house. You know, time, it's important. The judgment's coming. You got to get out of there. Nor enter to take anything out of the house. Verse 16. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter, for in those days there will be tribulation, great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. There's God's grace and mercy. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there, here he is, do not believe it. Why are we not to believe it? Because the Bible tells us how he's going to return. And we're going to see that in just a moment. In verse 22, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. Then he goes into verse 24, but in those days, after that tribulation, after the 7 years of tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, the powers in heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the earth to the farthest parts of the heavens. Something is different here than the rapture of the church. The church is going to meet Jesus in heaven, and he's going to be with them. Here, he's coming to be with his people. There, and then we see here that he's going to send his angels to separate at the end times there. And so I believe now we have seen through the tribulation period, we've seen the beginning of sorrows. We've seen the mid-trib point, the abomination desolation. We've seen the 1,260 days and all the difficulty that's going to go on. And then I believe personally in Mark chapter 13 and found also in Mark chapter 24 that there's an interlude to the flow. There's a flow that we're going to go into in chapter 14, but there's a real flow in Matthew 25 where he begins to deal with certain issues. There's a flow of that. And so, but there's this interlude in that flow where I believe personally that he addresses the rapture of the church. Join with me with that understanding in verse 28. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So he's using an illustration that they understand. And he's just saying, hey guys, you've seen a fig tree all of these times, you've looked at it, and he's just saying, notice when its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is, does it say, is there? Near. Jesus has given us the ability to understand when the rapture is near, not here. And we must understand that. He backs that reality up in the next verse. See, in verse 29, he says, so you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Now, he uses that language, it is near at the doors, but it doesn't say that the doors have opened. Doesn't say that it has gotten there, because the very tense of these things happening are not looking back at things that have happened, that are not looking at things that you're in the midst of happening with. It's looking ahead of time to the future with things that will happen. You guys with me on that? And so the very understanding right here, and it gets confusing sometimes, people look at that and say, oh, it's got all these things happening. They have to go back and say, it's all of these things that have happened right there. No, because the very tense of what is being established and verses before and verses after point up a reality that it's still coming. And so what is still coming? I believe at this point, it's not the second coming of Jesus Christ and what he's trying to develop concerning the tribulation, but he's backing us out from the tribulation and he's saying, I want you to take a look at the rapture of the church. It's very, very important. He goes on from there. Notice, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now that tells me that there's a time that no one knows. Right? There's another time that Scripture reveals that we can know. Are you guys on the same? You with me on that? So to me, this is a rapture context. And notice what he says in the midst of that, starting in verse 33. Take heed, watch, and pray. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to, what's it say? Watch. That is a very, very important thing that we must understand, to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what the master of the house, when the master of the house is coming, for the in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. We don't know. Lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Underline that, because that's a challenge we must understand. We as Christians today are to look forward to the day of Jesus' return, but we are not to be asleep. We're not to get comfortable. We're to be on the cutting edge. And we're praying to God that he would put a fire in our hearts. We wouldn't be people just to have a fire insurance, our eternal life, but we would be people literally on fire for God, to wanting to see people give their hearts to Jesus, to wanting to see people change radically and marriages healed, to wanting to see people raise up their children and children go on the mission field and all of that. Notice he says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We don't have much more in our message today. Only about 42 minutes. No one said, go for it, Bill. No one said it at all. Thank you for doing that. You know, there's a story told about an airplane that takes off from New York. And that airplane takes off. There's a guy and many people going across that know the exact flight plan. They know exactly when that plane is taken off. They know exactly when that plane will arrive. And they have it all down. They have it totally down. Much like we could know everything about Jesus' return. But there's another person there in Dallas-Fort Worth, where that plane is going to, that is a young, beautiful girl that is engaged to a guy that's on that plane. She doesn't know the exact time. She has an estimate of that time. She doesn't know exact the route. She doesn't care about those things. But one thing that we know about her is she's excited, right? We may not know the time exactly, the rapture of the church, but I pray that we are excited. We're on our tippy toes. We're looking for that return because it could be any moment. And that drives us forward to understand the importance of the time. Because look here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. If we've had people that knew the Lord that died, sure, we miss them. There's sorrow in our heart, but not as those that had no hope, because we know we'll see them again. Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him, God's going to bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. When is this going to happen? He goes on to tell us exactly when. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive, those that are alive on the earth at that point and remain until the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, will be by no means precede those who are asleep, those that have died. Those that have died have gone to be with the Lord in heaven, and when he comes back, he's going to bring them in the clouds. For notice verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, those that are alive on earth, shall be caught up. The original word translated into Latin means raptura, which means where we get our rapture from. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that wonderful? How many believe in this? Do we comfort each other with this truth? You bet. Whenever this truth will come, it's a comfort. It truly is. But then again, and joking, my tongue in the side of my thing there, but again, I'm looking, and not joking, I'm looking for, Lord, bring it on early. Pre-trib. Others can stay around if they want. I want that early. Now, I don't want it so I can escape, but I want it because I can be with Jesus early. And I believe that's his purpose. Very important. Then he moves in chapter 5 into, I believe, dealing with the second coming of Christ. Look at verse 1. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Still, at that point, people won't know at the second coming exactly when he's coming. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day of the Lord shall overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep spiritually as others do. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us that believe, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God, don't you love verse 9? For God did not appoint us to wrath. Amen? I did not hear one praise the Lord. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Go with me back to Mark chapter 13, please. To me, I see two different events that are very important for us to understand and to search out in Scripture, and I submit to you for your personal study to do that. The timing of the rapture is unknown, but we are told to observe the signs that indicate it is coming and watch for it with great anticipation. The timing, on the other hand, of the second coming to Jesus on this earth, the timing has been narrowed down according to Daniel, and we can know those things are happening at that point. And so again, verse 32 of Mark there that we see. But of that day and hour, Mark 13, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. As I said earlier, it's like a man coming to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what the master of the house is when he's coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to you, watch. I repeat that because of the importance of the bottom line of the teaching that we're talking about here. I believe that we must watch. It means to stay awake. It means to stay alert. It means to be watchful. It means to be vigilant. Jesus closes out this and says over and over, of that day and hour, no one knows. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. What I say to you, I say to you all, watch. The believer's duty is to watch. Our responsibility is to watch. It doesn't matter where you feel it falls. I believe personally the free tribulation gives me a place where I don't know and I can watch, but I can believe that He's coming back at any moment, and then that drives me forward in a very, very special way in that way. I am not looking for the coming of the Antichrist halfway through the tribulation. I'm looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. How about you guys? Truly, there's a difference. And I believe Scripture backs that up. I look for the return of Jesus Christ to today. Anybody else? And again, I respect what you believe, and I'm not here to make you believe anything other than that. But we have to all study, to watch. The believer does not know the exact hour of the Lord's return. Therefore, he is to watch and stay ready at all times. He or she should be so alert that his or her eyes are open and watching for the signs of Christ's return. Watching has the idea, listen to this, of being alert at the right time. At the right time. When is the right time? Right now. Can you say that with a southern drawl? Rot nail. Rot nail. The believer watches his ministry and his duty to God. He sees to it that he serves faithfully and wisely. This includes the idea of being motivated, of keeping one's attention or our mind upon a thing. The believer watches his attitude and behavior, not just his ministry and his duty, but his attitude and his behavior. He stays his mind. He keeps his mind upon the Lord's return and walks soberly and godly among others. The believer watches by being ready to die and to meet the Lord through death. Christ does not mention this point, but it is true. But it's true. Truth is ever so clear to the maturing believer. Our lives may be called to be given up for the glory of God. Many across the world are doing that. But I want us to remember this. As we wait, this is all waiting and watching. As we wait, we are to be not only to be excited about His return, but we are to be prepared and we are to bring glory to Him in the things that we do and say in His name. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for His return today, but I pray that none of us will sit back and just say, I've got my fire insurance and I'm just going to take it easy. No. There's people that need to know the Lord. Amen? That's why He says, watch. Watch. I'll give you an idea. I'll give you an idea. But you won't know. But it could be the nation of Israel. As an example, we saw that. A generation. Some people believe that a generation is 40 years. If that was true, Israel became a nation when? 48. 40 years add on to 48 is what year? 1988. 7 years taken away from 88 gives you what year? 1981. Jesus didn't come. Can't be 40 years. Some people believe a generation is 70 years. Okay? 70, 1948 and 70 years is how much? Huh? 28. Ooh. I'm going to write a book. Jesus is returning in 2018. Yeah, right fast. Yeah. Yeah, but you forgot one thing. Remember 1988, take off 7 years, takes you 81. 2018, take off 7 years, brings you to 2011. Did He come? No. So it can't be there, the nation of Israel. It can't be 40 years, can't be 70 years. So we don't know, do we? Kind of Jesus said we will not know. We just don't know. Some people believe it's not 48, it's 67. And add 40 years to that. So I don't want to complicate it, but you know, that's when Israel took control of Jerusalem in that sense. Some believe that. Some believe it's just simply a generation. Like the Romans had a generation. The Greeks had a generation. We have a generation. I don't know, but I'm looking for Him today. I just believe in it. And so in closing, I just want to briefly contrast, as I did a few weeks back, the difference between the rapture and the second coming. But encourage us to watch and to be ready, but to be about our Father's business. At the rapture, Jesus is coming for His church. At the second coming, He comes with His church. At the rapture, Jesus comes in the air. At the second coming, He comes to earth. At the rapture, only Christians will see Jesus. At the second coming, every eye will see Him. The rapture happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, according to 1 Corinthians 15:52. The second coming happens slow. It will take some time, according to Zechariah and Acts and Matthew and Revelation. The tribulation begins after the rapture. The millennial kingdom begins after the second coming. At the rapture, Satan will not be bound. At the second coming, Satan will be bound. The rapture presents a message of hope and comfort. The second coming presents a message of wrath and judgment for those that don't know Jesus. At the rapture, Christ begins at the rapture, Christ Himself will gather the saints. At the second coming, the angels will gather the elect. The rapture is imminent, I believe. Could happen at any moment. No signs are necessary. The second coming is predictable. Cannot happen for at least 7 years from where we are right now. Many signs will precede that day. The rapture is a time of joy. The second coming is a time of mourning. As I see it, there is either a major contradiction in the Bible concerning the coming of the Lord, or there are two separate phases of His coming. A pre-tribulation rapture and a post-tribulation second coming. So I believe in the pre-tribulation. I believe that in the prophetic clock of Daniel will begin the last week that we see, a seven-year period. I believe that will happen with the rapture of the church, and 7 years will go until the return of Jesus Christ, 1,260 days after the abomination is established in the temple that will be rebuilt. That's my personal belief. I submit it to you. But above all, what's the message? Watch. Can we do that? Can we be excited? Can we keep ourselves on our tippy toes? Can we tell anybody that we have an opportunity about that Jesus loves them? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Can we do that? All right, let's stand and let's pray. Father, I submit this teaching into your hands and into the hearts and minds of the precious people that are here. For you, by your Spirit, to guide them through. Whatever they choose to embrace after they have truly studied the weight of Scripture and all the issues, Lord, let them settle with you there. But Lord, let us watch. And as we watch, let us prepare. Let us be about your business, being those examples, the salt, the light into this world. So we thank you that you have it all in control, Lord. We truly do, and we'll trust you in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.